from the corner. Yes! And a foul!
Is he having himself an afternoon?
Schneider feeling. His third three already.
On the drive goes Patty Casey for the basket.
Backdoor cut, Schneider with the jam. This is Schneider in close and one.
Welcome to episode 3 of the Schneider Show with Patty Casey. We just wrapped up our interview with Colin Gillespie and Patty. That was a great interview, huh?
Yeah, great interview. Great guy. Welcome back to everyone, first and foremost. But yeah, Colin's great. Great sitting down with him. We mentioned a couple times he's our first non-Cuse guest, so I think it went really well with the first, you know, guy outside the family, so to speak.
Yeah, no, it was great. I think Colin just his story coming up of him not getting recruited, him kind of growing up wanting to play football at first, then all of a sudden turning into a two-time All-American, two-time Big East Player of the Year. And that has everything to do with just him, the type of player he is, the tenacity he plays with, and just honestly, like, Colin just goes out there and plays with a clear mind. And honestly, yeah, that's all you need sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, we mentioned in the interview, I've been a fan of his for a few years now because, I played him in high school and it didn't go well at all. So, no, it was very fun sitting down with him.
Coming into this week, I had another week of just getting ready for the season. I got to go on this trip to San Diego and kind of got to sit down with the guys, got to go out to dinner with the guys, got a couple practices in, and honestly, it's just been a great experience so far. LeBron and AD and all those guys have been great to me. So I'm just getting really excited for the start of training camp, for everything that's going on. And having media day yesterday was kind of just the start of everything. So,
dude, you're getting out ahead of all my questions here. This is all I prepared. I don't know what else to say. No, but I mean, I guess just for the listeners, sort of take someone inside what a media day in the NBA looks like, obviously. You know what I mean? Like, are you doing interviews all day? Is there a bunch of photo shoots? Are you, like, striking poses and, like, kissing babies and stuff? Or how's it go?
I would say the Lakers media days might be a little different than some other NBA media days just because the amount of coverage that we have. ESPN's there. Yeah. NBA TV's there.
I mean, it's the Lakers. Like,
yeah. And it's also LeBron, too. So
right.
Just being around those guys yesterday and just kind of seeing the things that they have to – I mean, I didn't have to do a press conference in front of all the media, but I did a couple interviews with the Lakers people, Laker media, and obviously the guys like LeBron, AD, and Russ, and Patrick Beverley, they had a lot more media to do than me. So I was thankful to kind of get out of there early. But it was definitely hectic. A lot of questions, a lot of questions to be had, a lot of answers. And honestly, it was just a great experience. It's funny, a bunch of my friends have been sending me this picture of just me and Patty. Actually brought it up earlier.
I was going to bring that up.
Bring it up.
No, I mean, I was going to ask for your best story from the day, but I think I actually know the answer already. So just kind of fill people in on this meme that you might have started yesterday.
Yeah, so there's actually a video, and then it turned into a picture of me and Scottie Pippen looking at LeBron in year 20, right? And the caption of the TikTok is, this picture says 1,000 words. You know what I mean? Like this picture can be put in so many different lenses. Obviously, Scottie, with who his dad is, and then LeBron, obviously, being year 20. LeBron's been my favorite player my whole entire life.
Right.
So just kind of being there, seeing that firsthand, and just seeing just how elite he still is at 37, 38. It's just unreal.
Like you said, when I saw it, after I stopped, like, dying laughing for a couple minutes, I kind of stopped and thought, because I sat on my couch yesterday and flipped on NBA TV, and they were covering the Lakers. So I was like, oh, my God, Schneider's. Like, show Schneider. And they're interviewing LeBron, so they didn't show any FaceTime. You were probably preoccupied with other stuff. But the other thing that, like, you're saying is it's insane. They asked him a question in this interview, and they're like, what's your favorite, basket of your career? Like, when you think of your entire career, what's the one that you go back to the most? Because he's about to break the scoring, like, Kareem scoring record. And he said, he was like, it's got to be that first one, man. Like, I was in the NBA, and I hit a turnaround and, like, kind of proved to myself that I could do it. And I was like, oh, my God, Swider's his teammate, and Scottie's the same age as you. And they were, like, 3 years old when that happened, and he's still, like, one of the best players in the world. You know what I mean? It's insane.
Yeah, and Max wasn't born yet.
That's nuts. Yeah, because you're old. You're real old by like rookie standards.
Very, very old. 5 years of high school, 4 years of college.
Right.
Definitely a little older for my draft class.
No, but I thought of that. I was like, oh my God, that's wild.
Yeah.
Like 20 full years ago.
Yeah, no, that's crazy. Just the amount of greatness. And then just being around AD and Russ and just seeing how professional they are in terms of answering questions and just to start a training camp. I'm really excited to get going with these guys and just kind of build.
Yeah, last thing I want to mention is I think any media day, they should just send Patrick Beverley to every team so he makes every media day like really entertaining, because anything he says in front of him, like, it's like you could tell it's how he is at all times, but he's just like such a hilarious, like, entertaining guy to listen to.
I was just going to say that. I like, that's who he is every day.
Yeah.
In San Diego at dinner, in the game, on the practice court. Like, that's who he is every single day. And it's just so refreshing to see someone who's actually, like, that genuine of a person. So it's great being around him. He's taken great care of me so far. He was looking out for me in San Diego. It's just been an honor just to be around those guys and just kind of just learn the professionalism that they go about their business with.
Yeah, no, I mean, you're in a perfect spot to like learn from all those guys that are vets and like actually prove themselves. But yeah, I guess moving forward here, we kind of jumped ahead of our mailbag question of the week here, but our producer Adam Lewis is going to jump in and do his duties here of the question of the week.
Yeah, Swati, you kind of stole this one from this mailbag question that we got this week, but it's all right.
We didn't get into it too much. Yeah, we didn't get into it too much.
The question of the week, after training all summer in Los Angeles, how was your trip to San Diego, and what was the coolest part of doing mini camp for the first time?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. I think for me, just...
Another great question, yep.
Yeah, another great question. Thanks to our listeners, but... I would say for me, I think the coolest part is just being able to go out there with the guys and kind of like be on like a little road trip. You know what I mean? Eating meals with the guys, being around them. Just Patrick Beverley said in our press conference in the media day yesterday, is like, we really just caught a vibe. Like being able to catch a vibe with all the guys, see how they are, interact with AD and LeBron, I don't think it will ever get old for me, but just realizing like, hey, these are my teammates now, and then obviously doing all the shooting drills and just getting into our little basketball like what it takes to be great, and just seeing LeBron on full, like, just it's just unbelievable.
Yeah,
just
go mode, yeah.
Yeah, just seeing him play live for the first time in terms of our practice, it was great. So yeah, just all those things in general about San Diego was great, and it was a great trip.
Do you just like kind of roll into training camp here, or like how many days are sort of in between?
Yeah, so we actually started training camp today. So today was our first practice of training camp, so we came back from San Diego on Sunday, had media day Monday, and then right into training camp today. So just being around those guys again, just kind of going over schemes, coverages, just laying the groundwork of who we are, who we're going to be as a team, stylistically, and then also just honestly just getting the opinions of LeBron, Russ, AD, and just seeing how what they think. And I think Coach Ham's done a great job of just making sure that everyone's on the same page, instilling his principles, but at the same time knowing like, hey, like, these guys are pros, they've done it at a high level, like, we're gonna take their intel as well.
Right. I want to clarify there, I knew that, I knew the answer to that question that started today, but I wanted to, you know, mix it up for the listeners, so I sounded like a bad co-host there not knowing the schedule, but yeah. But I guess how'd you play today? Feel comfortable out there, like, kind of getting it going, actually putting, you know, the practice uniform on with everyone there for the first time?
Yeah, no, it was good. It was good. It was good to get out there with all my teammates and just kind of get familiar with one another. It's not LeBron said this last year. This isn't instant oatmeal. This isn't going to happen in 1 minute. You know what I mean? It's going to take some time. Yeah. I thought it was a great day. I think we all played hard. I thought we all we're trying to do the right things, and that's step one. And obviously LeBron's been to a lot of finals, been on a lot of great teams, so he obviously knows what it takes and everything like that. So yeah, just kind of getting into our interview with Colin. I thought it was a great interview once again. This is the Patty segment where he tells you guys to subscribe.
So, yeah, this has become my main role now. Yeah. I'm like the glue guy. I'm like a walk-on again. I'm just doing the dirty work day in and day out. But, yeah, subscribe, all our pages, Swider Show. It's another great mailbag question of the week. We're batting 1,000 on mailbag questions of the week, Swider. So we obviously want to keep that going. So if you want to be featured, we'll give you a nice shout-out. I got a couple of my friends were busting me about how many times we said shout-out in the first episode. But you will get a shout-out if you submit a mailbag question of the week. So, yeah, make sure you Gmail, swidershow@gmail.com will be featured on the show. So, but, yeah, like you said, you know, really excited to give you guys this interview. Just kind of want to roll it right into our conversation with Colin and hope you guys really enjoy it. And we'll see you on the other side.
Welcome, Colin. Welcome, Colin, to episode 3 of the Swider Show. Obviously, long-standing friendship between me and Collins going back to the Villanova days. So, welcome.
Appreciate you having me, buddy.
First of all, I just want to ask you, how you feeling?
I'm feeling good. I'm getting there. Just getting back, just rehabbing, doing everything I need to do to get healthy again. It's not out of the ordinary. I've been hurt last couple summers, so just trying to get healthy again and get right.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. It's funny. So Patty and Colin actually played against each other in high school.
Yeah.
And Patty tells a hilarious story.
We're getting right into that off the bat, I guess. I was waiting for a little more banter before, but
no, let's just get into it.
No, I mean, like you said, yeah, first of all, Colin, appreciate you coming on. You know, first non-Cuse guest, which will be big for the audience. Hopefully some Denver people, some Nova people tune in. Yeah, Swider had to blast me right away with that, but it is funny. There's definitely a connection there, at least a little bit. I remember playing Colin. I think I would be someone that Colin might forget playing, given how the game actually ended. But some backstory for the listeners. So I'm from Scranton, like I've said, I don't know, maybe 1,000 times on the podcast already. We played Archbishop Wood, where Colin went our senior year. And I think you said you remembered the game, I guess, right? Like, what's your take on the game?
We got down a little early. It was like 8-2 yep. or something.
Early timeout. Early TO.
Early TO. And then our coach kind of just laid into us.
Yeah.
And it just turned up from there. And it got pretty serious.
Yeah.
Well, by serious, I think you mean it got a little ugly for the prep Cavs. But
I think it was about like 20 or something like that.
Yeah. I got the box score here if we want to go through it. But, yeah, I mean, well, you guys you played very well, which
I guess kind of leads into our first question. I think I'm going to do my job as a podcaster here and not just talk about my high school career, but ask you a question where we played in that game, and for some backstory, like I said, so a week before that, I'm going to talk about myself again. I had committed to U Sciences, which is in the CAC. Colin at the time, you had a very good summer, but you were getting like criminally under-recruited. So then we're going into this game, and I'm like, okay, kind of measure myself. Like, this point guard, he seems like he's really good. Seems like, you know, I might be seeing him down the road. And then the game starts, and I'm like, I don't think I'm going to play at all if this kid is in my conference. But kind of in line with that, I mean, your coach even mentioned during that game that you weren't really getting many offers that you should have. But it seems like that two-week stretch, we played you December 15th, something like that. Was like kind of where you blew up in a lot of ways recruiting. So kind of talk about that stretch and how you go from playing someone like me to playing, you know, in the Big East and eventually becoming a national championship when you're a freshman.
Yeah, that was so I had picked up like 2 offers that summer. It was like Albany and Maine. Mm-hmm. But then it was like everything else was Division II. Then Division III schools were always around because we had other guys on our team that were at that level. So there's a lot of those schools. And then the night before we played you guys, we had played Abington. And Eric Dixon was on that team who now plays for Villanova.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We had by like 30. And I had like 25 or something in 3 quarters, and I dunked on somebody.
I think I watched that Adai video the morning of, and I was like, "Ah, boy, we might be in trouble here."
All right, say it again, Colin. What? Say it again, because that might have been your only body in your career.
Man, it's my only it's my only in-game like dunk where I've dunked on somebody ever. And like we were playing, we played in summertime, and we like lost by, we won by like 5 or something like that. But this big kid, this big white kid, he was like 6'8", and he was like, he like glassed my shit in the first game in the summer. So he was like talking crazy to me. So I was like, all right. So then he was like chasing me, and I ended up dunking on him. We won by like 30, and that's where a lot of like the buzz came from after that. And then we played Scranton Prep the next night, and he said he saw it after, because I saw it, that video came out like when I was in the locker room after our game against Grant Prep. That's when I first saw that video, the ADOT video.
Yeah, so I saw it before you. That's
you probably saw it. I saw because we played Abington, I played well, then we played Grant Prep, I played well, and that's right. Kind of when it started to pick up a little bit, and then we ended up playing a team from New York. And I played well there too. And then Villanova started to come see me. And then once Villanova came, that's just how recruiting works. Like,
right,
start to see you and talk about you, then everybody else wants to jump on board. But that's kind of how it happened. But yeah, we beat the brakes off you guys.
Yeah, it was bad.
Hey, let's kind of rewind a little bit, Colin. Obviously, me knowing your family, just being around you at Villanova, talk about your upbringing. Talk about having an older brother, kind of. And talk about, obviously, your father. Your father's obviously an amazing man, but talk about the kind of like the competitiveness, the will that he and your brother kind of instilled in you to be the savage that you are on the court.
Yeah, those are the legends. They get after it for sure. But yeah, I mean, that's just like how we were raised. Like you said, like, you know, my family and where I come from, my dad, my brother, all like we're a sports family, kind of like yours. And you have a lot of brothers and sisters where everything is competitive. You guys, whether it's like games, board games, you could just be talking about stuff and it'll get heated. But that's just how I grew up. We were always competitive about stuff. My sister swam Division I. My brother played football. He played a bunch of sports growing up. My dad played football in college. So we would always go outside and it was just sports, compete. If we argued, my dad gave us boxing gloves and we would just box. And that's just what it was. So, I mean, that's just how I grew up. That's how he raised us. Just blue collar family, and everything we do is competitive.
Yeah, I can attest to that. Just knowing Mr. If anyone knows Mr. Gillespie, you guys know the tough, rumble kind of guy that he is. And it's no mistake how Colin got to where he was, even though he went through getting not recruited, you know what I mean? So me and Patty want to bring up first, just talk about, obviously, middle school, you're a big football player, and then your decision to go to Archbishop Wood and kind of going through that decision.
Yeah, I was football is what I wanted to do. Football is my first love. I like basketball, but it never, like, piqued my interest too much. I was more of a football guy. And it's weird how it happened. My brother quit football, liked basketball more, and then we ended up flip-flopping. But, in grade school, I was a football guy. My dad was a football coach at Wood. My brother ended up going. He got back into football, played football and basketball. He went to Wood. He was a year before me. And that's what I was going there for. I was going there to play football. They had a really good football program. Been to a bunch of state championships, won a bunch of state championships. So I thought that was my best opportunity to get recruited and play football at the college level. And that's what I wanted to do. So I played for the first 2 years. I played my freshman and sophomore year. I played football and basketball. But I had to kind of split the time up. The summers was mainly for football because we had like 3 days and all types of crazy stuff. So I had to do that. And there was a kid in front of me that ended up going to Temple and then Michigan State. So after my sophomore year, I was like, the coaches were there, were all cool and everything. My dad was a coach. So, but like they kind of took the love out of the game of football for me. And it was more like, I wasn't having fun with it anymore. So I was like, I like basketball more now. My, assistant coach on the basketball team was my AU coach since like seventh grade. So he was there with me, and I was just like, yo, I can't do this, and I don't feel like playing football anymore. I'm wasting my time in the summer times where I could be getting better at basketball. So I kind of just switched over, did basketball full time, and just try to start getting better. And then I hit a growth spurt, which probably helped. I was like 5'11 going into like my sophomore year.
Nothing wrong with that.
I mean, if you want to play at a high level, you're not
gonna do that. No.
There's, yeah.
And then the way that I wasn't like super athletic at the time.
Still not.
I was. And I lost that.
We can talk about that open. We'll talk about that later.
Well, actually, yeah. Yeah, we will talk about that because.
What's the open gym? Is that a story?
Unreal.
Tell the story. Let's talk about it right now.
I'll tell it quickly. I'll tell it quickly because Colin's gonna be humble and not tell the whole story. So that summer, I've never seen some, like, I don't think Colin missed a shot that whole summer. Like, Jalen Brunson is obviously a $100 million player. Colin was going toe to toe with Jalen Brunson that summer. Like, it was unreal. So one day we're in open gym. I don't think I saw Colin miss a shot that summer. And it got so ridiculous that Colin was at half court, and at Villanova, like, we had Brandon Slater, we had Eric, like, I think it was Brandon and Eric underneath the basket. Colin hits someone like an in and out, goes one dribble, one step inside the free throw line, goes off Colin's a 1 foot jumper naturally, goes off a two, gets like a boost off of someone, and boom, for game.
No way.
Like, I think we stopped playing after that.
That was my best summer ever, like, by far, because I was like healthy. And then when Jalen came back, he was like, you know him. He was talking shit. So like he's going crazy, doing whatever he wants. And I'm like, all right, we're not about to look bad. So I just started going back at him, but I had dunked once. And then I think it was like a DHO between Sadiq, and he didn't give it to me, but I curled and he threw it to me. And then there was like so many guys like in the paint. I didn't really see anybody. I just like saw a bunch of dudes, and I didn't know who was on my team. But I know Eric and Slate were under the rim, and I took off a two, and I was like, all right, I'm either getting this shit punched.
You dunked on Eric again? So that's twice?
Eric, it was one of his boys in high school.
Oh, okay.
Boosted off of I put my hand on Eric's shoulder. I boosted off of Eric, and then Slate was under there too, and yeah, that was one of the crazy.
And Slate met him up top too. It wasn't like Slate was like
he's so athletic, yeah.
I mean, you saw his UConn block this year.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And then I kind of moved out of the way, and then once I did it, I never do that shit. So I'm like, damn, I really just did that. I didn't really know how to react. So I just looked up at the coaches, and they were all staring at me.
Like, are you looking? Yeah.
Like, all right, I got to validate this free throw. So then I had to make the free throw for game, and I was like, if I miss this, it'll just ruin the whole moment. So I was like, I got to make it.
Like, Colin was so bouncy that summer that he had Eric Dixon on a fast break. And Colin went up and dunked it, and Eric looked at him, and he looks over at Eric, he goes, what's wrong with you? Jump with me.
Because you know how Villanova is, like,
oh,
it just, they'll curse you out, like, if you're not jumping with somebody, you're afraid to look bad. So I was like, he was young at the time. He was probably like, all right, I'm just going to let him go. He probably didn't want to hurt me, because he probably would have just folded me up if he hit me. So then I dunked it, and I looked down. I was like, what are you doing? I was like, you're blocking.
Oh, no.
Wait, while we're on the subject, I want to go back to, like, talking about your upbringing in Philly at some point. But I feel like it's so interesting when you hear those stories about, like, guys at Nova and even at Q-Swider, where the summers are, like, some of the more competitive games you'll play in, like, including actual games. So is there a real strong, like those NBA guys are coming back, like, for most of the summer, and not most of the summer, but as much as they can and working out?
Yeah, by far. Those summer games, like, practices at Villanova are harder than games.
Yeah.
Summertime is, like, if the pros are back, it doesn't matter who it is, NBA guys, no. Overseas guys.
Right.
Like, they run their own stuff. Like, they don't – it. The terminology was all, like, NBA or, like, overseas terminology that we never knew until now because, like, we're you're looking around and you're just confused because they're running certain shit. You can't stop anything. And then you're getting cursed out for not playing hard.
Right.
Quote, unquote. Not playing hard. I'm like, no, these dudes are in the league. I have no idea how to guard and stuff. But those games are like, oh, super competitive, fun to watch. I mean, I like, sometimes you guys are playing against them. I was either dealing with injuries or on the side watching. Because some days I just getting old. I'm like, all right, not playing.
Yeah, I just remember my summers at Villanova being such a critical time for development, right? I think, like, our summers at Villanova, I try and tell guys at Syracuse this, because Syracuse, you just do your stuff in the morning, then you're good. But at Villanova, Colin, right, 6:30 a.m. lift, hour and a half lift, right? Then most of the time you have a class from, like, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Then you have practice from 2 to whatever time we get out. In the summer, right? And then you practice 3 times a week, and then that other day you're playing open gym, and sometimes those will be more competitive than the actual practices in the summer.
The open gyms were by far more tiring, harder than the summertime practices, because that's when the pro dudes aren't coming back to playing practices besides myself, and now I got hurt.
Javon Pinkston.
Like, those dudes are playing in the pickup games, and that's like their conditioning. So they're like, you've done 3 days of workouts. Then the other 2 days, you're like, all right, let's do like a light open gym today. These dudes come in, they're like, all right, we'll play best of 7 to 15. Then you got to make a free throw to win. Sometimes you don't make a free throw, you're just going up and down. Sometimes you go up and down for like 2 hours and you're like,
no, but then it's best of 9.
But then it's best of 9, best of 11.
Oh, man. And then you got to wake up and go to hot yoga that morning.
Yeah,
hot yoga does you dirty.
Pass.
I would definitely say going to Villanova prepares you for anything. You know what I mean? It's being in that regiment that work, like, it's really what it takes to win. And obviously, you saw that more than anyone at Villanova, Colin. So going back to high school, talk about when you truly started to fall in love with the game, and then when you really thought it was a possibility that you could play at the Division I level.
Like junior year, I always thought I was good enough, but obviously I wasn't like the biggest, tallest, strongest dude. So I was like, you grow up watching it and stuff like that, and you dream about it, and then we all can't be 5 stars like you. So I'm in high school, I'm 5'10", I'm skinny, I couldn't shoot that well originally. And then I kind of just got better. And then, like, sophomore summer going into junior year, I was like, all right, I'm going to take it serious. And then I got in the gym a lot. And then I just continued to get better. I got a little bit taller. I got a little bit stronger. And then I played against some really good players, but I never played on the circuit, which is probably a mistake. And then I played against some really good players, and I was like, all right, I can compete with these guys. And then I played in a really good league, so. I always thought I could play Division I at the Division I level. I didn't know how high. So I was always thinking, like, all right, I'll just go to a CAA school or like an A-10 school somewhere local. Just like contribute, you know, whatever. And then I, like, going into senior year, that's when I really picked up. And
it's unreal.
Yeah, that's unbelievable.
I was like, all right, I'm getting disrespected at this point. Yeah. Like, because we had coaches from schools come in, and I was a senior, and it was like CAA schools that were coming in, and I was like interested because I was like, all right, I want to get this recruiting process over with. And these dudes were coming in, and then I would like find out, oh, they were coming in to see like the junior class, the dudes under me. So then Villanova came around, and these dudes are calling me, and I'm like, why are you calling my phone now?
That's how it works.
Well, I was like, you saw me in the summertime. Like,
yeah,
nothing's changed, but
Yeah. It's all about, yeah.
I was going to ask that exact question. Sorry to cut you off, but like for the listeners that may not know, the Philadelphia Catholic League is, like, in my opinion, one of, I don't even think it's an opinion, it's definitely one of the best leagues in the entire country. And the other thing that's so cool about it, I mean, I obviously didn't play in it, but from the outside looking in, I'm familiar with it from Pennsylvania. It's all people you grow up with, like, playing against your entire life. So, like, that just definitely drives the competitiveness of it. And kind of just talk about, like, how unique that league is. Try and conceptualize for someone who may not know. Like, the Philadelphia Catholic League is, like, what matters the most in the state. So kind of just talk about that and how competitive it was. And, like you said, all the good players you played literally every single night.
There were so many guys that, like, went through there. Like, just all the schools. Like, Newman Gretti has won so many Catholic League championships. Archbishop Carroll was really good for a while. Roman Catholic was really good for a while. Like, Lamar Stevens plays in the league now. Tony Carr was in the league for a little bit. Derek Jones in the league for a little bit. Deion Waiters went to Newman Gretti. So, like, I watched that growing up, and then I didn't know. I knew I was going to go to a Catholic League school because there was a couple that were around my house, and then there was a couple that were a little bit further, so I ended up going to Wood. And they were never really – they were always known for being a football school. And then we got a new coach, the assistant from Newman Gretti. My assistant – or my AAU coach was big in the city in terms of – he was an AAU coach for team final and – knew a lot of people, so we kind of started getting guys and we got better. But playing in the league every night, it made you better. You were playing against some of the top competition in the city of Philadelphia. When I was there, I played against, like I said, Lamar Stevens, Tony Carr, Derek Jones, Quade Green, Dada was in our league. So those guys, like, those were bigger games for us. And
right.
Everybody in the city was going to those games because they were – these are the top teams in the league, blah, blah, blah. And then that was really, like, state playoffs was kind of light because
– I was just going to ask that exact question. From the outside looking in, it's like it looks like all I care – not all you care about. Obviously, you want to win a state championship, but, like, the Catholic League is the one.
Yeah, for sure. Like, Catholic League, it was harder to go through the Catholic League playoffs. Like,
League
playoffs, it's three games, and – like, the margin of victory was way, way smaller than, like, I think in the state playoff, we won every game by, like, 20, 25 points.
Yeah, well, so.
We won by, like, 40, and it was just, like, Catholic League is kind of just, like, if you win the Catholic League, then you're, like, that's, like, the goal.
That means more, yeah. That's, I mean – that's bringing up nightmares for me because my last 3 years of high school, how Scranton works is if you win my district, then it's actually crazy. So if you come in third in our district, you don't have to play a Philly team till the final four states, and people never make it to the final four states because if you win the district, you play the third best team out of the Philly area who beat us by, I think, 35 every single year. So it's like you get to the state playoffs, like we would kill everybody in districts, get to states, win our first round game, second round game. It's like, oh, here we go. Emotep, 40 ball.
Especially them. They're a public school.
They're not Catholic League. But, like, we played Newman my second – my junior we played Newman. They scored 120 points in a high school playoff game.
I mean, like, the top, like, four Catholic League schools, and then there would be, like, three or four public teams that were, like, really good.
Right.
Run through states and then end up playing each other in state playoff again somewhere in the Final Four and the state championship. And it was just, like – and then they split everybody up between the class, like, Class 1A, 2A, 3A.
Right.
And everybody got split up, so it was a little bit more, like, playing each other again. But – I mean, it was a great league just to play in every night. You're getting good competition, and especially dudes like Colt, where you're from, like, what leagues are those?
It's the NEPSAC, so, like, Brewster Academy, Northrop Mount Hermon.
That extra level of competition that you're not getting every night, even in the Catholic League. Like, there's some teams that are super weak and, like one, two, or three teams at the bottom that you might not – it could just be like an off night where you could go in and you could win by like 20 without really like
even. Reckon sweat, yeah.
So, Colin, talk about that week you committed to Nova. Obviously, I remember seeing that you committed to Nova. I was like, oh, nice. Another little white guy going to Nova. You know what I mean? Just like typical thoughts. But talk about that week you committed to Nova, kind of the publicity you got from that, what the reaction was from that, from the general public.
I don't know how Villanova people took it. Like, obviously people compared me to Arch and they were probably excited for, like, in that sense, but not a lot of Villanova people had seen me play that much because I wasn't really, like, a bigger name until my senior year. So I don't even know if people, like, people didn't expect a lot out of me my freshman year. I contributed a little bit, got hurt, and then started playing a little bit at the end. And there was a lot of mixed emotions. Like, obviously, as athletes, like, you read things. Like, you, like, it's hard once you have social media. Like, you see stuff. And the Villanova people, like, towards the end, they love me. But, like, when you're a freshman and you're a sophomore and you're going through, like, those growing pains of, like, not always having the ball, not it's just different. Like, when you get to college for the first time, especially at Villanova, in the system that they have, the culture that they have, it's hard to adjust for certain people, and everybody kind of goes through it at some point. So I struggle a little bit. Fans might love you one game, they'll hate you another, you know that. So I think the first couple years it was tough, but when I first committed, I don't think really that many people knew about me, and they kind of just probably thought I was like another Arch, or like I was supposed to live up to Arch's expectations because he had just won a championship. I was another white point guard from the area. So,
I mean, one thing I will say, Colin, is that you never look flustered, like, ever. My 3 years with you, like, I remember, I mean, obviously Javon Quinterly had a lot of hype coming out of high school, and that summer everyone was asking me, oh, like, how's Javon looking? How he's going to be a starting point guard, right? I was like, you guys understand, like, we have a beast in Gillespie. Like, he – like, you're not going to say it, but you took that summer personally in terms of, like, all right, like you won that starting job wholeheartedly. But talk about just going into your freshman year, going against Jalen Brunson every single day, and just that freshman year in general, obviously ending with a national championship.
Yeah, I mean, that made me better that whole year, going against him, watching how he worked, his work ethic. Not only him, just, like, the other guys from that team too. Like, they were older guys who had been through similar situations. And that year was really important for my development mindset in terms of coming out of high school. You kind of really don't know how to carry yourself, especially in college, and having a guy like Jalen, he was National Player of the Year, won a national championship. So I got to watch everything that he did that year. And that was really important for my growth. But yeah, like you said, going into that second year, I knew JQ was coming in and whatnot, but I really wasn't kind of fazed by it. I wasn't affected by it. I was just going to kind of do my thing. And Mikhail Bridges was really important. He was like, bro, the culture is set for a certain way. Like, as a young guy, you're really not supposed to come in and, like, just beat an older guy out. Those older guys have the habits they have. They know the culture and what it's supposed to take. So I was just going to go do what I was supposed to do and just play Villanova basketball. And you know how that coach just loves that stuff. So
yeah,
I would have taken care of everything else. And then obviously you have to have some sort of talent. And I knew that I could play. And I think I showed them a little bit my freshman year, like what I could do. And then at that point, it was just Eric and Phil.
But yeah,
Eric and Phil show.
Eric and Phil just carry us, and everybody else just be out there and play Villanova basketball, dive on the floor and take charges. Mm-hmm. And stuff like that. So that kind of made it easier. They kind of put everything on Eric and Phil. But yeah, I mean, it wasn't like you know how it is as an athlete. Like, no matter what people say, like, you put in a lot of work for your craft, and you just gotta stand on it.
Yeah,
I mean, you mentioned Villanova basketball. I was gonna ask you about, you take like a huge leap from freshman to sophomore year. I was wondering, this is actually, both of you could probably answer this, but more so Colin because you played the point. At Nova, when you're about to start as a guard, is it like, okay, we have to have this kid have the best turnaround in the lane, play off 2 feet at all times, and just never make a mistake ever? Like, is that something that's drilled every single day? Or is it like you kind of just – because obviously your play style was like that beforehand, but once you start running the show, it's like every single possession down, it's like 2 feet, jump stop in the lane, hit the turnaround. Like,
I mean, we work on it every day.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's certain drills that you just do
every day. Every day.
Vitamins.
At that point, you're just like, oh, this is natural. This is like this is my habit now. But
right,
even coming out of high school, like I used to play off 1 foot all the time. I used to leave my feet, throw a pass off 1 foot, and then now I'm like sitting here as a Villanova dude, like, oh, that's crazy. Like it's crazy for a 1 foot pass or jump in the air. But I mean, it's just habit after like a year and a half of doing it every single day. You're like, at this point, like last year I was like getting annoyed going into practice. Like,
how much is that like watching like Brunson and Ryan Arch too? Because they obviously played the same way. So it's like,
Patty, I'll answer that for you, bro. It's literally every
that's
day.
That's what I mean. Yeah, these are for both. Yeah.
Like, it's like Colin made it look easy doing those habits every day. Like we would go into practice and it's like, all right, like we're going we're gonna do our jump stop drills. We're gonna shot fake rip one dribble jump stop, pivot three times on each foot.
Yep.
Bounce pass out to the 3 point line. Run back out. Shot fake one dribble jump stop in the lane like shot. Or we would do the same thing again and then do a finish. Like, Colin was able to translate it so easy to the games, but. I don't know. It's just something that you do every single day, right, Carl?
So just habit, yeah.
It's annoying to do. Like, nobody likes doing it. But then even, like, not even in drills, like, you do it in, like, five. Like, they would have us do 5-on-0, and they're, like, they're saying it while they're telling you what play to do. Like, oh, we want you to get a full bar reversal, get in lane, jump stop, kick out opposite, extra pass. And, like, you hear it every day for, like, hours and hours on end. And half the time, like, I didn't like doing it, but I'd rather not get yelled at and do it, so I didn't get yelled at.
So Colin, after that sophomore year, I mean, I'm just going to read some stats real quick, just talk about your career. 1,858 college points, two-time Big East Player of the Year, third-team All-American your senior year, All-American again as a fifth year, Bob Cousy Award winner. Obviously, you had all the – you're the two-time first-team Big East, all Big East. You had a second-team all Big East. Like, going there and just thinking about your career now, like what can you even say to that? Just think about like your journey to get there, right? Not recruited, like kind of like Coach Wright told you he might redshirt you as a freshman, and then having that type of career.
I was supposed to be like a practice player, like with a scholarship. So like, I never knew that until like I got there and it was like my second year and I heard it from like Phil or E or somebody, like when I was going to visit for the first time, they were like, oh, we might take this kid as like another practice guy, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, I was supposed to red shirt. And I mean, it all, like, God's got a plan for everybody, and like your situation, going through all the ups and downs at Villanova, then finding a place where you felt like you could be yourself, and like it always ends up working out for each guy in their own way. So mine was a little bit different. I was high school was whatever it was. And then I think a lot of my success came from the guys around me, the coaches around me, the guys that I learned a lot from, Jalen, Mikhail, Dante, Phil, Eric, all those guys. Like, without any of those guys, without any of you guys, like, none of that other stuff happens. And a lot of that credit goes to, like, you guys. I would have never thought about it, like, going into Villanova, especially with the guys that we had there. But, shit, certain guys pick it up, and certain guys can do it in the system. And the system is built for certain people. And I just got really lucky, I guess. And, I mean, it also helped that I played behind Jalen for a year and got to kind of watch him do it, and then I had like the blueprint.
But before we get into junior year, just talk about the kind of coach that Coach Wright is, right? Like the process driven kind of coach that he is. I mean, to me, he was probably one of the top, if not the top coach in college basketball the last 10 years, right? So just talk about Coach Wright, what he means to you, and obviously the kind of coach that he was in the program that he built at Villanova.
I mean, yeah, he dominated college basketball for like the last 5 years, just two national championships, Final Fours. But yeah, I mean, he was just like, he's so hard to like talk, like to describe, because he's so like even keel all the time, but then he's so turn up at times. And then like, he's so different when he's on the court with you versus when he's off the court. He's like one of your, like trying to be like one of your best friends, and like, he'll do anything for you. And then on the court, he's going to push you so hard, like that you'll be like, yo, this dude hates me. But I think the way that he pushed me was, it really worked for me. That's kind of the way that I grew up. I remember walking into Villanova. My dad was like, yo, whatever you need to do, like, just do it. Like, make sure he gets better. Make sure he becomes a man. And I think that was really the best part about him, is like, he cares about you more as a person than he does as a player. Like, he wants you to become the best version of yourself, the best man that you could possibly be by the time you're out. But within all of that, he's still trying to make you the best basketball player you can, try to get you to the league and become a professional.
For sure.
Yeah, I mean, Swider mentioned it before, just to sort of like move into your junior year here. Obviously, that's another progression where you take like a big leap and start playing really, really well. Like, in our preparation, we did do some preparation. We saw, like, it seems like your Baylor game, your junior year, was like, you played really well. I think that was a holiday tournament. Yep. And that was the year before they won the national championship, but that they had like Davion Mitchell and Jared Butler, all those guys. They were loaded. So was that just kind of like gaining confidence throughout the year, and in a way just like proving to yourself and to other people, it's like, yeah, like I'm the best player on this team. Like, I could really like deal with these expectations every night. And like, how did that kind of, I don't know, build your confidence from there? And then you go into conference play, and obviously you guys play really well. Yeah, so just individually kind of talk about that stretch.
Junior year was weird. Like, junior year was just like, it was just like from start to finish, it was just like a shit show.
Yeah, and then, I mean, obviously ended so weird, yeah.
Bro, it was brutal. I broke my nose in the summer, and then you guys went to USC. We got beat so bad, and then, like, then you hear everybody say, like, oh, Villanova's not the same team, blah, blah. And then,
nope, right back up top.
And then we played Ohio State, and then we got beat so bad at Ohio State, and then the same thing. And then we went and played in that tournament. Cole turned up the first game, had like 26.
Thanks, Cole.
And then, yeah, we played Baylor, and Baylor was like, they were good, but nobody knew who they were. And we were winning for most of the game, and then they ended up beating us, and then they were ranked like number one all year. People mm-hmm. were like, oh, they're gonna win the national championship. But yeah, I mean, junior year was just, I don't even know how to explain it, because we played well for like, after that game, we played well for the most part. Then we hit a stretch where we lost three games in a row, and we lost like Seton Hall, Providence, and Creighton, all at home, I think.
Butler hit that game winner.
Like, more so, I wasn't even thinking about myself and how I was playing. I'm just like, yo, don't let right. the culture slip in terms of, like, Villanova basketball. Because I didn't really care what other people outside thought. I like, really cared, like, to let former players down.
Right.
And, like, not want them to think, oh, he was like a part of a bad Villanova basketball team. You know how like Cole mm-hmm. knows, like, always bring up the 2012-13 team. He's like, we get a bunch of guys who are prima donnas, like these five stars, you guys think you're all that, blah blah. And then the shit slips, and I'm like, all right, well, it's not about to happen like on our watch. So like, and then we had lost, like, we had lost the Big Five the one year. And I was just like, damn, I'm not, like, that's the only thing I thought about. Right. Was like, don't let the slip, and don't let other, like, former players think that, like, it went down on your watch.
So obviously that year we ended up being a top 10 team at the end of the year. COVID happened. Talk about how that season ended with COVID, where we were. Just talk about that a little bit.
I mean, we were getting ready to play. Like, we were watching Creighton versus St. John's, and then nobody had talked about it. And then, like, we went to shoot around, came back, and they were like, yeah, like, tournament's canceled. So we were like, nobody knew what was happening. They just can't, like, we were watching the TV, and they were like, canceling every tournament. And then one of the coaches came in, they were like, yeah, like, they're going to cancel this game at halftime. So then we just got on the bus and went home. Took 2 hours to get home, got off the bus, and they were like, the rest of the season's canceled. And I was like, no way. I was like, it's not even possible. I don't think there's ever been an NCAA tournament that's been canceled. And then after they canceled the tournament, we got sent home like 2 days later, and that was just it. And
I remember talking to Colin when we were home, because it was originally supposed to be for like 10 days. And Coach Wright talked to us. He's like, yeah, like, we'll go home for like 10 days, and then, I don't know, we'll start practicing again. So I was like...
The world shut down, yeah.
So then I'm talking to Colin. I'm like, please tell me we don't go back and start practicing. Please tell me.
Not going back in 10 days to start practice already. We're supposed to be in the NCAA tournament.
That was also the biggest tournament, was the first one to like get canceled. Like, that was the first one to shut down. So it was kind of like, what the hell is happening? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it was weird, because there was a game going on, and I was like, no way they just shut this down.
Mm-hmm. I think so moving on, we obviously finished that year top 10 in the AP and all that stuff, and then talk about just the COVID year, how weird that year was, and obviously you made another leap being Big East Player of the Year, you, Jeremiah, and I think Sandro was the third Big East, the only three Big East Player of the Year. What do you even call that?
That was so stupid. I honestly don't care. Like, very, like, honored, I guess, and, like, grateful to have, like, had that recognition. But, I mean, how many teams were in the Big East? 10?
11 with UConn.
It's like, I don't even know how that happens. It's an odd number of schools, and it's getting voted by coaches. So that makes – I mean, I guess it makes sense, because you can't vote for your own player, but – I don't really know. I mean, honored and grateful to have received it, but the COVID year was super weird. I mean, we were in like pods that they designed by like your room and your roommates. That's who you were going to work out with. So it was like me, Cole, Eric, and Jeremiah.
Great room.
Like. And then they put me in their workouts, and we were doing like post-up drills and like catching on the mid post. And I'm just like, all right, I might as well just get hurt and sit out for a couple of weeks so I don't have to do this. Like, I'm never going to win these drills. And then we did all that. Nep had us doing all this. Like, me and Cole were then just partners for like a couple weeks, because then we got COVID again, and we were just doing like just hella shooting drills, conditioning drills, and we're like an hour and a half into a workout, and Cole beats me in a shooting drill, and I'm like, all right, because I had originally wanted a drill, and Nep was like, all right, this is the last drill, blah blah, so I started walking off, and then what do you know, we do like five more drills,
and then I win.
Cole ended up winning like the last like two drills. So I got hot, because I'm like, these were supposed to be over the last like four drills ago. So I like threw the ball or whatnot, because the other group was coming in, and like, I'm mad. I'm like blacking out. But Cole is like, I hear Cole from like across the court. He's like,
I know, he's probably further away than just across the court, if you could still hear him.
He was like on the other side. He was like saying something. And I was just like, I was still blacked out from like losing the drill because I thought I had won like two drills ago, and I was like, all right, it's mm-hmm. over. And then I just was like, all right, I'm just about to black on them. I'm just about to snap. Yep. And I snapped. And I was like, what'd I say? It's like,
you're like, you're such a good drill shooter. Make them in the game, Cole.
Wow.
I meant it out of love. So I was like, damn, I'm eating my ass right now in these shooting drills. Wait. I'm so mad. I was like, I need him to do this in the game.
If you guys are partners, if you're like doing seven drills, who's winning?
Come on, Colin.
Long silence.
Depends on the day. I got him a few times.
Yeah, no. Colin that Kobe.
I'm really hot, or I'm like, just.
No, but that COVID year, you didn't miss a shot that year either.
In the workout?
No, I'm not like in games. Like I remember.
Just overall.
you were just knocking them down.
Nah, I mean the most fun game was when you hit the shot against Texas.
Yeah.
I was so hyped after that game. I thought we lost. And I was like, damn. Cole just big balls of three with like 2 minutes.
I think the funniest thing from that year was we don't play a game for like 25 days. And then we play Seton Hall. And at the end of that game, I ended up playing pretty well because Jermaine and Colin couldn't play a lot of minutes that game because Jermaine and Caleb couldn't play a lot of minutes that game because they had something.
They just got
COVID or something like that. And me and Slate end up starting that game with Colin, Jeremiah, and Justin. So I guess the end of the game, it's tied. I get a rebound. I get fouled. I go to the line, make one out of two to put us up by one. So we end up winning the game, and Colin for the rest of the week is calling me GW, game winner.
those games were so funny.
Yeah, so I guess just moving on to your next year, like you said, that you're sucked in so many ways. And then, unfortunately, it's sort of getting back to normal. You guys have a full year. You're playing really well senior year, and then you get hurt. And it's kind of like you keep saying you're hurt every summer. This is another summer where you're hurt. So kind of just talk about that period, how frustrating it was. And then like sort of your decision, I guess, to come back and trying to prepare for another year where there's a bunch of expectations, but you're hurt the entire summer.
Yeah, I mean, like that was my first real major injury. Like all the other summers were like just like little nagging things. So
a couple weeks, yeah.
2 weeks. And then that was like my first real one where I needed surgery for it. And like, I rely on my faith a lot to get me through things. So that's kind of just something I like relied on. And I was pissed. Cause then I was like, I don't know if I should go back, especially with like COVID and all that.
Right.
It's going to be another year. Like it was senior year. I was like, I don't want to go back and go through all that stuff again. So I eventually figured out what it was going to be like. Talked to my family, talked to the coaches, knew that the right place for me to rehab was at Villanova, just around people that I knew, not going into something super different with a bunch of different faces, a new place. So I think it was the best decision for me. And then I also kind of wanted to be healthy going into like the whole NBA process.
Right, makes sense.
It would have been tough to go into it injured. Now, saying that now, it doesn't make much sense because I'm hurt, but I got to go through like the workout process and the combine and stuff like that healthy.
So talk about that fifth year a little bit, Colin. Like obviously being at Villanova for 4 years is a lot, but that fifth year, how you kind of went into that mentally when you finally got healthy, and then let's talk about the year in general.
Best year ever. I had one class. They weren't on me. They were like, this dude's coming off an injury. So they were like, let me get back to being healthy. you know how like coach like how he says like Colin, you're not a good shooter, Colin, a shooter. Like he was talking about like player of the year stuff, and I'm like, I'm not even healthy. He would talk to the team. He's like, you see him, he's playing right now. He's not playing like a player of the year. You think he's a player of the year? He's not a player of the year. I'm like, all right. I was like, I'm not even thinking about that stuff right now. I was like, I'm just trying to get healthy. And but he does like those little things to like motivate you and drive you and stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, it was one of the best years personally, just like being able to focus on myself, like get healthy again, get in the gym a lot, get a bunch of extra shots up, because I wasn't doing anything all day. And I got a lot stronger over that summer because I was just lifting upper body with Shaq. And I eventually got healthy like a couple weeks into the season. I got comfortable again. It took a little while to get comfortable after having to play with a brace on, just trusting my knee again. And that's kind of what just happens with any injury. But yeah, I mean, it was a great year. Did well, and I thought I did pretty well. It was one of the best years I thought I had.
I think we got to give Shaq Fed a shout out, because he is like one of the best TikToks ever. He's always coming up on my FYP, and you guys are doing those little hops with the medicine ball.
Best strength and conditioning coach in the country. By far. He gets after it.
He does. No, I always have a soft spot in my heart for Shaq, because Shaq lives it. You know what I mean? He each and every day. Yeah. So, obviously, this past year, I got to play against you guys. And it was obviously really weird playing against you and Jermaine and everyone like that. But talk about your mindset going into that game, Colin, because I can mention my mindset after.
Get in fucking Cole's ass. Bro, I was so hyped to play that game, and then it was like the first half was so shitty. Like we just played horrible. I think we took our most ever threes in Villanova history in that game.
71.
No, I think we took 50.
71 shots.
12 for 50.
I mean, you guys sat in the zone, so we were like just
12 for 50.
It was horrible shooting night, but yeah, I mean, it was like anticipated, obviously, because people had like talked about it. I think the reporters asked us about it, and then you hit your first three and like smiled and stuck your tongue out, and I was like, all right,
sweet,
the rest of the game. He had on transition, hit us, he like stuck a three, and then like they always put me on every like other team's best shooter, so I was like, all right, he's not getting a shot off.
And I only got one shot in the second half.
You know me, I'm not sitting in my triangle. Like, no. I'm just going to deny you.
No.
Yeah. So I just denied you.
And then you raked my arm in the second half.
Just absolutely. Oh, that definitely was a foul.
Did they call a foul?
No, they didn't call a foul.
I don't even remember it.
Yeah, of course.
Were you guys, like, talking shit during that game, or how's that go?
Word to him.
Really?
I don't think Kyle looked me in the eye.
If we were winning by one, I would have like laughed and like been like, you know, just like.
No, that was obviously a competitive game, but it was so tough. I mean, you weren't going to let me get a shot, and then we couldn't make one either. But going into the rest of your senior year, you guys obviously make a big run to the Final Four, win the Big East Championship again. Just talk about that little March Madness run towards the end of the year, and just talk about how Villanova usually does in the tournament.
I mean, I just wanted to win. I didn't really care about anything else. I didn't care about – obviously, you always want to play well, but I wanted to leave on a high note, and we did really well. We played DP again the first weekend, which was really cool.
Dylan Painter, who was also a Villanova transfer, who transferred to Delaware.
Yes, we played him, and then we played Ohio State, and then that was always like – everybody always gets so nervous at Villanova about the second week, the first weekend, the second game. And we ended up winning that game. And after that, it was kind of just like, all right, let's just go play. And we ended up, we beat Michigan. And then we beat Houston in the Elite Eight. And then Justin got hurt. And that was frustrating, obviously, because I thought we were good enough to win it. Him averaging 15 and then being our best defender, put him on everybody, best player, was frustrating, but shit just happens. But, yeah, I mean, it was all that I could have asked for, because that's the reason, one of the reasons I came back.
Looking back at Nova, what would you say your favorite game was in your Villanova career, if you can even pick out a game? Obviously the national championship, but...
Yeah, I'm not going to say national championship. That's too cliche. Kansas, our junior year, yep, at home, Wells Fargo, is probably one that's up there, but Providence this year at Providence.
Like, that was electric.
It was the craziest, like, Providence crowd ever that I've played at. And Providence fans, bro, like, you know how they are. Like, yep, they're just, well, we're the best team in the Big East this year. We won the regular season. We're going to beat Villanova. And I was like, all right.
That left hand, like side hezzy, that was
quarantine work.
Yep.
Coach Wright had me, you, Nep had us doing it. Like, that was like the year, or was it our senior? It was my senior year where he had us just work on like slides the whole time.
Yep.
So Coach Wright brought me into his office probably early my junior year. He's like, "Hey, Coley, I don't want you to go shot fake rip and hop jumper anymore." He's like, "I want you to go strictly shot fake and slide threes." And then after
you
that,
you do love that shot.
So after that, he literally put it into one of our drills that we do every single day, and that was a part of it. Before that, we never did it. So obviously, that's a big part of my game now. It's a big part of, like, what I mean. I don't know if you guys did it as much last year, but my junior year, yeah, it's part of footwork drill.
Part of footwork drill now.
So, obviously, after your season, talk about how you kind of picked your agent and then just the pre-draft process in general, where you went for pre-draft and everything that kind of went on then.
It was kind of easy. A lot of Villanova guys are with Excel. Sadiq is with Excel and one of my agents. So that was kind of easy. I just vibe with those dudes. They're kind of like more like my boys that like are my agents at the same time. It was just like a good relationship right away, and I felt comfortable with them, so I just went with them. And then I went to Miami for a pre-draft, stayed down there for a couple months. That was really good. Just lifted every day, worked out twice a day, got stronger, just got better. And then I went to the combine. That was interesting. It was like fun, but there's just a lot that goes into it. And it wasn't what I expected it to be. Like what you watch on TV, there's a lot behind the scenes that goes on with it. So that was fun to just be a part of. And then after the combine, you know how the workouts go. Like it's just clean. And then you're somewhere else, and then you're on a plane, and then you're somewhere else. And it was just hectic. So, but it was good. I mean, it's something that you dream about, obviously, as you know. And it was just like fun to see certain guys in workouts and be able to play against them.
It was funny. So, me and Colin were supposed to have a workout together, actually, for the Lakers. And
really?
Colin had a little sprained ankle, maybe?
No, it was like, I mean, it was kind of like a sprained ankle. It was from senior year. Like, I had turned my ankle against UConn and then did it a bunch of times after that. And then I ended up doing it in the Clippers workout, like, the day before the Lakers workout.
So I never got to see Colin in the pre-draft workouts. I mean, I did 13. Colin, how many workouts did you do?
14.
Yeah, so, I mean, we were all over the place. We never saw each other once, which was sad, but...
How many weeks does that span? Like, how long are you, like, you're doing 14 workouts, and how long of a time? Like, 3 weeks?
Oh, like, one straight month just carrying around dirty clothes, sweaty.
It's disgusting.
Staying in hotels, like.
You just check in and out of hotels. It was brutal.
guess, like, yeah, moving into draft night, obviously you play really well in these workouts. You're, like, garnering interest. I guess just talk about where you were draft night, obviously what it meant, and then ultimately your decision to be with the Nuggets here.
Yeah, I was at home with family and friends. I mean, I thought I was good enough to get drafted in the second round. That's kind of when my night started, late second round. And things just happened. The draft is a business. So
right.
I knew going into that night that I had Denver as a two-way option if I didn't get drafted, and certain things had happened. And I love my Denver workout. It was really good. I thought I wasn't going to be able to play there because I thought I had COVID, but then I got tested and I was fine. And I just had, like, a really good relationship with Coach Malone and the front office and some of the staff here. So it went really well. I was comfortable with the people and going out there. And obviously it was an opportunity for me to live out my dreams, and I didn't want to pass it up. And the guys kind of just, the draft fell into place the way that it did. And I was on the phone with Coach Malone when, like, pick 58 was happening, because I knew it was, that's where I wanted to go.
Oh, that's awesome. I mean, I thought I could get drafted too. And then the kind of, like, it's funny, like, how the night just keeps on going. You know what I mean? You're like, all right, this team's interested, but all right, they're going to go with someone else. This team's interested going with someone else. And then it's like, you're calling your agent. It's just crazy.
Like the most stressful, like, 2-3 hours of your life. You're like, think it's gonna happen, and you get text that, like, they're taking somebody else, or they're moving back in the draft, or they're moving up to get somebody. So it's just like you get to, like, the firsthand experience of the business that night, and then it's kind of just like you're happy after that because you're the team.
I remember talking to you the night of the draft, and you were like, congrats and everything, and I was saying congrats to you, and you're like, nah. You're like, nah, I'm pissed. Like, obviously I'm happy that I'm with the Nuggets, I'm happy I'm on a two way, but you're like, nah, I'm pissed. And I'm like, what? Like, who would have thought that we were gonna be in the situation, you know what I mean, like 2 years ago? But nah, he's like, nah, I'm pissed. I should have got drafted. Screw all these guys.
Yeah, man, bro. That's just like that's just how I am. That's my mindset.
Chip on your shoulder.
Yeah. That's how I grew up. That's how my, like, basketball career life has gone. And motivates you. Just like, all right, whatever. I'm going to just keep proving these people wrong. Especially after you go on workouts with people who are, like, first and second round draft picks. And you're like, all right.
It's not a big difference. No, for sure. So talk about, obviously you played really well in summer league. Just quickly, just talk about just summer league and that experience in Vegas.
Summer league was super fun. It was the first time doing, like, something different than Villanova, and something that, I mean, Villanova just is different in terms of, like, play style and stuff like that. So you can kind of, like, expand your game a little bit more and do different things, and you get to see how the NBA style is, the pace. The different, like, terminology and the sets that they run. So it was all interesting and, like, fun to get experience for the first time. Obviously getting to see, like, all of your friends play. Like, I got to go to some of your games. I got to go to Jermaine's games. A lot of the guys that I worked out with Excel in pre-draft with. So that was all super cool. It's just a cool environment to be around.
For sure, yeah. I mean, I thought you played a great summer league and everything like that. So I was really happy for you during that time. But just wrapping up here, Colin. Obviously, you have this injury and you have rehab going on. What would you say some of your goals are in terms of just attacking this rehab, and is coming back this season a possibility? Is it something that you're aiming towards? What are some of the things that you're thinking about heading into this rehab process, and ultimately if you do come back?
Yeah, just get healthy as fast as I possibly can. Obviously not rushing it, but it's a bone injury, so they heal a little bit faster. And I've been kind of just, I got right to it when I was at home. I rehabbed there for 2 weeks, and then I came out here when I was able to fly, and I've been rehabbing here ever since, and it's going well. I'm obviously progressing pretty well. I'm starting to walk in a boot and hopefully get the boot off now in a couple weeks, but I want to return this year. We'll see where it goes and how I continue to progress from there, but originally it's a 5 to 6 month injury, so that leaves me to where around January, February, which is like right in the middle of the year. But we'll see kind of just how I feel, and gradually just after coming back, being able to run on it, shoot on it, see how I feel, because I'm going to treat it like it's 6 to 9, but it's really 5 to 6.
Yeah. Well, Colin, I appreciate you coming on the podcast. Always a pleasure talking to you and getting to and getting to hash things out a little bit. Like I said, from me, Patty, Adam, Jake, we appreciate you coming on the Swaiter Show and being our first non-Cuse guest.
Yeah. No, I definitely appreciate it. Good meeting you, man. I guess I forgive you now that you came on our podcast for kicking our ass in 2017, so.
Appreciate you.
Well, that wraps up our show with Colin. And as I said again, thanks for Colin for coming on. And we'll be back with another guest soon.
All right. Thank you again to Colin Gillespie for joining us. Me and Swaiter really enjoyed the conversation. Hope you guys do as much as we did. Just real quick to close up, some housekeeping stuff we wanted to mention again. I swear this is new audio of me saying this. It's not just the same one over and over and over and over again, but follow us on Twitter and Instagram. In order to see the actual guests for each week, you should definitely follow our social media. That's where we introduce it each week. Our producer, Jake Sheridan, chops up what I think is a good idea. If you think it's a bad idea, then blame him. A nice little question mark on the Instagram story. So it's like, oh, who's on the show this week? So, yeah, stay tuned for that. Be announcing each week who we have. And, yeah, give us some feedback. And can't wait to... for you guys to tune in to this interview with Colin in the future.